We take a little break this week from our series, The Sermon on the Mount, to celebrate Thanksgiving week. So you'll want to turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, that's what the essence of Thanksgiving is we're thankful for so many things, but it all comes down to we're thankful that you gave us a Savior in Jesus Christ, the opportunity to spend eternity in your presence. So Father, that's what we're thankful for. That's what we stop and remember. In all the things that we are thankful for, we come down to you. Father, thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we take a break from our current series. And many of you have family traditions this week. You will gather around the dinner table and you will talk about what you are thankful for. Sometimes people are reluctant. Sometimes you have little cups with pieces of rice in them. For every piece of rice, you have to tell somebody what you're thankful for. You have to write it down. There's so many different traditions. So I want to take a few moments, and Rudy, if you will, grab this mic. I want to take a few moments, and I want to ask a few of you, raise your hand, and please share with us what you're thankful for this year. Don't be shy. I would really like to hear.
Roman's not really shy, but I just I'm very thankful to be able to play in this band with musicians that I've been blessed with being able to play, singers that I've been able to play with, and in this house and in this fellowship. It's a great church. Aside from playing in the band, it's nice to be able to want to go to church and learn the word again.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Don't make me call on you. Because I will. There you go. Greg?
I just want to say I'm thankful for the fact that though I had a position, I had a job, it wasn't where the Lord wanted me to be. And so he opened up the door and put me in a new position. And the reason I'm so thankful is because there are people out there who are still looking for jobs. And yet I was able to leave one job and move to another. So thank you, Jesus. And those who are still looking, don't give up the faith. There.
Amen. Anybody else? Raise your hand so he can see you. There's one over here, and I know there was one back there.
I'm thankful for God's answer to prayer. This last year was an answer. God answered prayer after prayer with our son Alex, who was in the accident. And I can't go into too much detail because he's not here to give me permission to talk about his plumbing, but he's not here because he feels so good. He went to his uncle's house. So, but we had a specific answer to prayer this week. Alex had a button. It's like a little plastic disc that was on the outside of his abdomen. It was holding a catheter in place. And I truly believe that without prayer, this button that somehow escaped from its place and it went through his stomach and got inside him and got lodged, but it went past the surgical spot, didn't do any damage.
Amen.
It didn't do any damage, and the doctors found it on Monday when they went in to do surgery, and they were in shock. But I knew it was because people were praying and God answered them.
Amen. And there's one over here, Rudy. Two of them.
everybody. I just want to tell you what I'm thankful for. I had a great meeting with Pastor Tony at Panera this week. It was one-on-one, and that was such a blessing just to sit and have a meal and something to drink with somebody that shares your heart with Christ. And I want to let you know, he also misbehaved at Panera and bought a lunch for me. He wasn't supposed to do that, but I'm so grateful to have a brother like Pastor Tony. And also, I'm grateful to be here because you know what? God is doing a new work here. Yeah. And sometimes people in my travels through all the places I teach at, they'll ask me, where do you go to church? Because they'll see in my behavior something is different. And it's, you know, I think, well, see, my membership is there, and I'm here. Not sure what to say exactly. So I said, well, I'm worshiping at a new church, and it is a church plant. It's a church plant in Cool Springs. And that's the way I'm going to look at it. And that's exactly what we are. We're a church plant. We're a new beginning. And God is doing a new work. And all the people are here are the people that God has called out to be part of the new work. And we see that He's calling people every Sunday. And pretty soon we're going to be back up into those cages back there. And what a great thing. So I remember that when we think about our brothers and sisters that we were worshiping with, remember Paul and Barnabas? Two wonderful things came out of a little disagreement. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters that we were worshiping with, and I pray for the ones that I am worshiping with, and I'm looking to see God do two great things. But boy, is the Word of God going out here. Praise God. It's the Word of God that changes hearts and minds. And I come and I want to be humble and broken. I've got to change this stinker called Michael McCann. And I'm glad that we do things a certain way here, because this is the way God says so. And for no other reason than that, it's just because God says so. And praise God for the work and honor you. I'm so glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. This will be the last one here.
My name is Mike Riley. Those of you who don't know me, on November 5th, second anniversary, when my heart stopped, I had an aneurysm. I was stopped, whatever, on the body. But my heart stopped. They were jumping on my chest, literally. They hit me with electrodes to bring me back. I was going. And you know, I've always loved life. But we take a lot for granted. You know, the Lord gives us every beat of our heart and the breath that we take. And we have our loved ones around us every day. We should use that breath to say, I love you. Or in a special way, do something to compliment them. To lift up family members or church members or pastors or musicians. I just want to say that, you know, we need to take a deeper look at our everyday and enjoy the moment. We're not guaranteed. And when we really need to love the Lord with everything we got to share with everyone we possibly can. Thank you.
Amen. One of the reasons why I wanted to do that this week was because we are very much a family. And so some of you will take that time out, and if that's not a tradition, it is so healthy to stop at this time. And stop and really think and focus about what you're thankful for. And we give all the thanks to God. Our today's lesson is one gave thanks and was saved. One gave thanks and was saved in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Let me read that to you. It says this, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood off afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go. Go your way, your faith has made you well. It's getting closer to the time when Jesus would die on the cross. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. He's moved north after that. And this is an amazing miracle that continues to show that Jesus comes with power. He comes with the power of God. This raising of Lazarus is practically right on the doorstep of all of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And it just infuriated them even more, because they now truly have to do something about this Jesus. This healing of these 10 lepers is happening on this trip north after the healing of Lazarus and on his way to his last trip to Jerusalem. Jesus has performed many miracles, many healings during his ministry time. He has been a great witness of compassion, of grace, and of mercy. He has spoken the truth and the need for a changed heart to the multitudes. But we see over time that not that many would remain and follow him. This story comes in the final months of his earthly ministry. And Jesus' ministry has reached and touched more people than could ever be written about. And that includes his miracles. On your outline, John 21, 24 and 25, this is written about John. It says, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain books that would be written. Out of all the amazing things Jesus has done, written and unwritten, this amazing miracle involves 10 men with the worst disease, leprosy. It attacks the nerves of the skin. It anesthetizes, numbs the pain cells of the hands and the feet, the nose, the ears, the eyes. The destruction to the body of a leper is not because of leprosy. It's because of the loss of the warning system. A person didn't know that the pain was gone. They didn't know if they cut themselves. They didn't know if they burned themselves. They didn't know if they broke a limb or broke a bone. There was no feeling. Cuts and wounds would get infected, but there was no pain. There was no warning system, so the infection would continue and it would spread. But they would simply just wrap their limbs so they wouldn't have to look at the wounds, thinking that it wouldn't get more infected, but it would never hurt them, and they would just continue on in life as best they could. The disease could last 10 to 30 years. It was easily transmitted. You could transmit it through inhalation, through bodily contact. You could even transmit it by contacting someone's clothing. It would also affect the larynx, the voice. The person would become weak in voice, a very raspy voice. In Luke 17, 11 through 12, in our verses, it starts here. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now the reason that they stood afar off is because it was part of the Levitical law. Okay, that is found in Leviticus 13 and 14. Those found to be lepers were pronounced as unclean. And in Numbers 5:2 on your outline, it says, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper. Now, lepers were, of all people, the most to be avoided. That's why it tells you that they stood at a distance. And it was the law to protect the people of Israel from being wiped out by this disease. They were removed from society, and the only people that they could ever associate with from that time on were other lepers. It was also believed that sickness came to those that were sinners, and thereby they faced God's judgment. And they believed that an illness or disease was divine judgment. And because leprosy was so horrific, it was considered the worst of the divine judgments that a person could suffer. So verse 13 now, as we continue. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now you can imagine this scene here. They are off at a distance, and they were with a very weak, a scratchy, infected voice. These are lepers. So as loud as they could with their voice, you can imagine it's, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They knew of Jesus. They knew of his miracles. But they get it right here. They say, "Master." They address Jesus as Master. Now on your outline, I want you to know that the word used here for Master was only used by his followers. And it was a word used of someone with great authority, great power, even someone that held miraculous powers. So these lepers knew of Jesus' reputation. And this was their last chance. Jesus was their last hope. And I want you to read a little bit into this whole picture here. They are crying out, "Have mercy on us." And I want you to know, I want you to realize this, that you would only ask someone for mercy if someone could grant mercy. If someone had the power to grant you mercy, or if someone had the reputation of granting mercy to someone that would just yell out for mercy, you would only ask for mercy of someone that could actually take action. Now, this is very different than in the days of beggars. Beggars would sit at the city gates and they would cry out to everyone who passed, hoping that someone would help them. This is very different. When they cry out to him, "Master, have mercy on us," this is a specific cry to someone who can help and has helped with those in need of mercy. 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Now, it's interesting that Jesus told these men to go and show themselves to the priest. Because remember, he said to Lazarus not too long before this, "Come forth." He said to a woman earlier on in his ministry, "You are healed." So why didn't he from afar, why didn't he just to these 10, why didn't he just say, "You are healed"? Well, one reason is to test their faith. He sent them to the priest. He sent all 10 of them to the priest. Now, these are the very priests that would have declared them as unclean. So he sends them back to the priest for their faith. "Go, show yourself to the priest." If they still had leprosy and they went to the priest, what's going to happen? They're going to be cast right back out. That's the law. So the faith was, go and show yourselves to the priest, because that's who's going to tell you you're clean. Another reason is that this is part of the Levitical law. Only the priests had the duty, responsibility to uphold the law and declare them as clean. So Jesus here was upholding the Levitical law. Number one, did the 10 lepers have faith? Did the 10 lepers have faith? Sure they did. They had a basic faith. They had a basic faith that was in a healer. They had heard of Jesus. They heard what he had done. So they had this basic faith. Their faith is in Jesus, in the one that has compassion on those who yell out for mercy, and their faith is in Jesus who is healing. Remember that. 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went, and they were cleansed. Now you get the picture here. These 10 men, they're all bandaged, and probably with open wounds as well. They can't cover their whole bodies. So they have these sores that are showing, and they're walking as best they can. Because here's what I want you to know. If they twisted an ankle and they tore a ligament or something like that, they wouldn't feel the pain. They would just learn to walk with a different gait, a different way. So here are these men bandaged with sores, and they're walking as best they can, and they're walking towards the priest because the man that said before people could be healed, the man had told him to go and show yourselves to the priest, and they do this in obedience. And just like that, all of a sudden, all the feeling comes back to their hands and to their feet. They begin to walk upright. Everything is corrected. Their wounds and their sores are gone. They can feel the bandages on their hands, and they're healed. Now here's what's interesting about the fact that these men are going to the priests. These are the very priests, some of the religious leaders, that are absolutely against Christ. And they are going to have to verify his miracle. They are going to have to verify. They are going to have to stand before these 10 lepers and verify that they've been healed. It's not just a miracle, it's miracles. There are 10 of them. Now think of it this way. If a man was cursed with leprosy, and then he goes and he's healed after some time, what you have to realize is he probably didn't have leprosy to begin with. He probably had an open sore. He probably had a wound. Probably got infected, and then over time it healed. Because there's no cure for leprosy. That's why they were put out of the city. So if a man was cured of leprosy, he probably didn't have leprosy in the day. And then imagine this. Here are 10 men with honest to goodness leprosy. They've got it. And 10 at one time are healed. This isn't a sore that's gone wrong and over time is better and then he's pronounced clean. This is flat out leprosy. And 10 of them at one time are healed. Now Jesus didn't tell these 10 to be silent about their healing. So, you know that as they go to the priest, as they're healed, as people see them, they are surely going to spread the word that Jesus sent them to the priest and healed them. And the priest would have to verify Jesus' miracle on these men, which would only make the religious leaders madder. Now, you know this, these priests who believe that leprosy was also a divine judgment of God. So when they find these men clean, they are going to also have to admit that Jesus had the power to overturn divine judgment. Number two, why were the 10 healed? Was it because of their faith? Well, here's what I want you to know. The 10 were healed because Jesus wanted them healed, period. Not because of their faith. They do show some faith. They do show some faith in this healer. But the reason why they were healed was because Jesus wanted them healed at this time. And God's word says that they were cleansed, which means that nothing was left. It's the Greek word katarizo. Nothing was left. They were completely healed. It's gone. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. So they are all walking along and they find themselves healed. And then this one, he turns around and he heads back. Now all 10 have just received new life. 10 men have just survived God's judgment, which is death. Now imagine the excitement on these 10 men. Imagine the emotion of wanting to go back to loved ones and to family and to hold them close without any fear. I mean, they have been put out of the city, away from their families. So imagine the excitement when they realize that they are healed and they are showing that they are whole again and they can't wait to show their loved ones. Now I would say that all 10 of the men felt this way. However, one felt something that the others didn't. He had enough of a different feeling that it led him to turn in his tracks. Number 3, why did the one man turn back? Why did the one man turn back? Because he understood that he was in the presence of God. He understood that he was in the presence of God. And here's how you see that. It says, with a loud voice. Now remember, this is a voice that was scratchy and raspy because of the leprosy, but this is now a voice that has been healed. Nothing is left. So with a loud voice, no more scratch, he gives glory to God for his healing. 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now I want you to know this is not a normal thank you. Okay? This healed man fell down to worship Jesus. This is a position reserved for Almighty God. And this man has it right. That's why he came back. He knew that Jesus was God. He didn't just come back to shake hands with the healer. He didn't come back and say, oh my gosh, I want to thank you so much for healing me. Thank you for giving me my life back. No. He came back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and assumed the position of worship, reserved for God. He wanted more than just the physical healing, because he already had that. He had already been healed. He knew also that God was a redeemer. He knew that God was a savior. And he wanted to be forgiven. He wanted to be saved. He wanted to be where God was. He wanted to be where God's power was. And that was with Jesus Christ. Now you have to remember that taking the position of worship is not just a thing you do and then turn around and forget it. You don't just stop and worship God and then get up and go, okay, I'm done, and go about business, life. And this goes for us as well today. When you truly worship God, when you recognize God for who He is, with praise, awe, and respect, you are saying, whether it is with the position of your body or the position of your heart, that you want a relationship with God, that you want to serve Him and you want to be in His presence. And when you're in His presence, you assume the humble position as servant at His feet. That's worship. 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, it didn't matter that this man was a Samaritan. He knew the God of Israel. The Samaritans were a defiled race. For that matter, they were a defiled religion. They were Jews that had married Gentiles in disobedience to God. So the Jews and the Samaritans absolutely hated each other. Now think about this. This Samaritan comes back to worship God. The religious leaders are going to eventually hear about this man's healing as well, and they are going to hear that Jesus accepted worship reserved for God from this Samaritan. They're going to flip out. The thought of the land was that surely God would never heal a Samaritan. This Samaritan understands, though, something. He understands that God is nothing like these Jewish people. If he thought that God was anything like these Jewish people, he would have never, ever come back into his presence. Because he already knew how he was being treated by them. Remember, leprosy was thought to be divine judgment. So, it was all the more appropriate that a Samaritan would suffer God's divine judgment of leprosy. That's the thought of the land. And yet, he knows who God is. And he comes back to him. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, these are rhetorical questions that require a positive answer in their language. So they could have been phrased like this. There were 10 cleansed, weren't there? Or but the 9, they are where? That's kind of what Jesus is asking. And we know by the text that they are on the way to the priests to be declared clean. 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now this foreigner is clearly not one of God's people. He is not one that shares in the promises of God. He doesn't fall under the covenant of God's people. He's a Samaritan. He's not even allowed to go into the inner court of the temple to worship God. And yet, look what he does. He walks right up to God himself, right in his presence, and he worships him. 4. Where were the other 9 going? They are going to the priests first, so that they could be declared clean. And then the custom would be that they would go to the temple to give thanks to God. If they were Jews, they would go into the inner court. If they were Gentiles, they would stay in the court of the Gentiles, which was not in the inner court. They would go there and worship God for their healing. They will follow their tradition. They will follow their religion and worship God in the temple. Now, here's what I want you to see. God is not in that temple. Number 5, where is God in this story? He is in Jesus. He's in Jesus. Now, this is like a parable coming to life. This is a real story, but with so much meaning. The 9 are blind. They could not see God in Jesus because it didn't match their tradition. It didn't match their religion. All their faith is taking them to a place. All their faith is taking them to a building in the opposite direction of God. Think of our lives today. Can you see God at work in your life? Can you see the blessings of God? Do you worship God for all that He has done? Or like the 9, do you keep marching with indifference away from where God is, away from where God is blessing? That's what I want you to see. The Samaritan wanted to be with God. He wanted to be in His presence. How about you? Where do you want to be? Verse 19. And he said to him, "Arise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, it says your faith. Now, this man had a different faith than the nine. Remember, they went in faith to the priests. But this man has revealed a different faith than the nine. Even though they were headed to the priests, even though they were headed to the temple of God, this man's faith took him to the true presence of God, to the true temple of God that was Jesus. The nine were in their empty faith, going to an empty building called the temple, where God's presence had left long ago. The meaning of temple there on your outline is dwelling place. The temple was the dwelling place of God. But God had left that temple long ago. The end of the story is so wonderful because Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Now, the English translations, most of them miss here because all 10 men were made well. All 10 men were cleansed. All 10 men were healed. But you have to know the word here in the Greek. This is not the same word used in verse 15 for healed. And this isn't the same word used for cleansed in 14. It's the word sozo, which is used for salvation or saved. In Luke 7:50, it says, "Your faith has saved you." Same word. The translations say well, but it means saved. This man's faith has saved him. The implication here is that the 10 were physically healed, but only one was saved. And he was the least likely to be saved. He was a Samaritan. But because he recognized God and Jesus and came back in gratitude and thanksgiving, he came back with an open heart to God. And he received salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the truth of this story. And that's the challenge to each and every one of us. We have to turn away from the self-serving desires of our flesh. And we have to constantly, daily, as we walk, we have to look for God working in our lives, and we quickly turn to Him in thanks and worship. Don't just come back and shake His hand. Don't just come back and give Him a hey, thanks wave. Come back, fall at His feet, and worship Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You because it is You that deserves our worship. It is You that deserves our praise. So, Father, in our lives, as we go, Father, this week of Thanksgiving, may we remember these words of Yours. May we remember this healed man, this saved man. And may we remember that he turned back to God and saw God and worshiped Him. Father, thank You for this lesson for us. Thank You for this truth. Father, we are so, so thankful. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.